Good afternoon. Welcome to Fish Talk, a call-in show about fish on the Kuskokwim. I'm Christine Trudeau. Here to translate the show into Yupik is Mr. Peter Achek.
Christine Trudeau
Today on Fish Talk, we're opening up the discussion on beaver dams and fish weirs. The aim is to address some concerns on things blocking access to spawning grounds. There has been a lot of debate on this, so we're looking to have a nice discussion and a chance to hear different perspectives out there. There are concerns that these structures hurt our fish on the Kuskokwim, but managers and researchers say beaver dams create healthy habitat for fish, and fish weirs provide valuable data. Joining me in the studio to help find a common ground and perspectives on these issues are two experts, both named Aaron and both from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Aaron Moses is from Tuksuk Bay and studied beaver dams on the Kwikset River for many years. Welcome, Aaron.
Hello.
Aaron Weber has run the Kwikset and Tuksuk weirs for several years. Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
So, what do you want to know about how beaver dams and fish weirs affect fish on the Kuskokwim? Let's talk about it here on Fish Talk. Join the conversation by calling in. If you're in Bethel, the number is 543-5985 or 2756. If you're in the villages or outside Bethel, call toll-free number
1-800-995-8954.
So let's start with some concerns about beaver dams. Aaron, concern number one, beaver dams block fish from moving upriver.
Hi, this is Aaron Moses. One of the misconceptions is that beavers do block passing fish from going upriver, but beavers and salmon have naturally coexisted in the Pacific Northwest in Alaska for thousands of years. And the beaver dams that prevent salmon from migrating upriver are rare, because most of the time they are migrating through the main channel of the rivers, and most beaver dams are on side channels and sloughs of the river. So they do not really block access to spawning areas.
Let's go to caller Helen in Bethel.
Good afternoon. This is Helen.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Do you have a question or a concern?
I'd like to ask a question. If all this cancer-related stomach problems that our people have are related to the fish that come from Asia, or is there any studies being done? And all the fish that migrates here from the ocean and Asia, they bring in all their... they're getting smaller and smaller and different fish coming up here from the ecosystem changing. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Do you want to take that? Health concerns around fish.
Health concerns around fish. This is Aaron Weber. I'm not an expert in fish pathology. I think all the people here in the surrounding areas have been eating salmon for many, many years and not seen ill effects that can be directed towards the salmon. I would say it's safe to eat them. I know that fish have mercury, which can be harmful to the body, but they have to be consumed in certain high levels, and there's only certain groups of people who are more affected by that high mercury content, namely children and women who are pregnant. I guess I can't really talk to that question without knowing some more specifics about it, but I guess my comment would be they're safe to eat. Eat them. They're good for you.
Thank you.
Ima aguna kayagol kay wat nap toka makutoka ima nakat makut nakatshit mani im Now, so tight, Koka, the mumtun chugni money, yuguni tamak toka, tamakun kiunakut nuknung. Tagum kan tokuna kiuluko watin. Im alhakoni kamskani awani chivoni makut yuput chuput, nakuatut makun nuknung. Chali so im nang sanating tamakun setting. Tamavta ikinayagat nun tamakutun akhtumf knakuwat ng kankasko.
Right now, just wanted to remind everybody, please join us for the conversation. You can call in. Our number here in Bethel is 543-5985 or 543-2756. If you're in the villages or outside of Bethel, our toll-free number is 1-800-995-8954. So, Aaron, just another concern around beaver dams. Do they block the entire river? The concern is that that might be the case.
In where I'm from, out in Nelson Island, they do block the small river channels, but most of the time, water could still flow over the dams. And growing up, I was able to watch salmon moving through beaver dams and make it above beaver dams. And in those little creeks, they use those beaver dams as a place to rest before they're making their way farther up. Along here on the Kuskokwim, I have not seen a beaver dam cross a whole channel of the river, upriver above in the headwaters on the Kuithluk or Kizaralik. So I do not believe that I've seen any beavers blocking rivers to block out salmon from migrating upriver.
And right now we're going to go to Wasali Evan out of Kwikluk.
Hello.
Welcome to Fish Talk. Do you have a question or concern?
Yeah, I would like to talk English.
Go ahead.
Yeah, need am can be.
Yeah, was even a couple of pilots. Maani people tell them slashed the money Cusco home, you can't have his power, and the good man when you got to Tama Kutwani. Kitten, I took to Gawani, took honey. Tama could be here for the second little fit of Kuchi living at the Gamit Tunks when I walked in Beatles for the Gun Oaks with my. Am xehanat magut tmani baluqtat qawaq nakkisizin wat sutaybun gani maqbin taqsizin toytot nayuqsizin tot tichapu tay chappa qam qhtuk qhtuk magut nakkisizin yaga chappa laqa chakvir khilipi tog tutta qhtulan tichapu qawaq laqlut tamma sutamma nilay Kuih sasih, sop kena kutamaan. Tepi tu, tuk, sinu,
Yeah, Ivan, Kuyana Chaknaka, Akun Kanskanashi Kapikut. We have a caller, that caller was from Kuiklukan. He had a comment, several comments about the beaver dams. The first point that he wanted to make was that the beaver dams are, there's a whole lot of them. In the headwaters areas, you know, where the fish in the past have spawned, and they are getting higher and higher to this on this day. It says years ago and long ago, these beaver dams weren't as high, and that the fish can jump over them to go spawn further up. You know, where they're you know, rightfully or you know have done in the past, but they are too high now. And the waters are getting lower, and these dams are definitely stopping the fish from spawning further above these dams where they should, and when they can't pass over the beaver dams, then they have to deposit their eggs, you know, right at the beaver dam or below, or with, you know, around there. Where the predators or the fish, other fish can, you know, eat them. And he says he hunted all his life, you know, for fish and game in these waters and up in spawning areas, and he knows what he's talking about. He says a lot of little fish are waiting to go out but can't, you know, because of the beaver dam. So they, I don't know what happens to them, you know, do they die or whatever. You know, when they're stuck above the dams, then they can't get out. And it says these dams that are on the Kuskokwim are different from what, you know, the coastal beaver dams. And that he mentioned something about the fish wares. You know, he first mentioned that they have a very strong odor. They smell bad, you know, below them or, and the fish sees these fish wares and don't want to go any further up, you know, because they're foreign to the water, and then the fish will stop and will not want to go any further up. And he said they're the same as beaver dam stopping a lot of fish from going up into the spawning grounds.
And Aaron, did you want to take those two concerns about high beaver dams and the issues of the weirs?
Sure, I could answer those questions. So the basic concern, if I understand correctly, is that beaver dams are too high for the salmon to make it up over, and therefore are impeding the salmon from spawning in places that are up where potentially they did in the past. I guess the main point that I would bring up is that, like Aaron Moses had said, beavers and salmon have coexisted in Alaska and in many other places for thousands of years. These patterns in high water and low water events have occurred longer than the life of any of us. And so whether or not it truly affects significantly the population, you know, that's up to speculation. but beavers can do good and bad. Yes, they may stop a particular salmon from making it up into a place where it could spawn, but that's not to say that it does not successfully spawn downstream from that beaver dam. And with the declining populations of salmon and knowing that in past years more salmon have made it up, one would be able to at least suppose that the system is not habitat limited for spawning area. So if there's fewer fish that are spawning, they would be able to find a place downstream of whatever beaver dam is impeding its progress upstream. I guess from my professional opinion, I would say that I do not believe that beavers are playing any kind of a role in decreasing the populations of salmon currently. Now, that's not to say that, people are correct in that, yes, if a beaver does make a dam and a salmon cannot get over it, yes, it will not be able to spawn in that place. But that's not to say that it can't spawn somewhere else and doesn't spawn somewhere else. With regards to the weir, I guess maybe I'll would you, Peter, like to translate that, and then we can go to the next one?
Yes.
Okay.
Kiwa aguna kanshi kuxumi makutaputa kanotaiso makutkoka chaputet makut palokte tino tamana kuyisi yasra tamana tunginun kanhtok watin makutuk palokta chalisu nakit ma im akkortukta akkortuk alha kut akkortu tamakina ayak mengitama kut maniwita kut ino changa kut sauna ting chalisu ka pinaka kaming makut nakit gataw an tamavatu niloki wat chal tamakin chal antu niloki Jadi tahu kan kehilalan kuat ini makut balok tercaput time ilat makut nakut aku lakte tu itu nakawat melaya sakit ngekini ekstroloting tahu makut li cawat sakit wasokat cukup sakit makut nakut tamawat tu tu wasokat bisjaga tak kamu natmudam nasamun what did not amav chal kuchtut chali sin wani kans mikun makut khoka am khamung khok makut chaputet paloktet na vugut khon retut chali pyuchtet tut khok nqitta makut asani khnaqlut asatni.
Did you want to add to that as well, answer?
Yeah. And maybe just one other clarifying point. Beavers in and of themselves create habitat, and to remove a beaver from an ecosystem, it may negatively affect other species that we're concerned about. For example, a lot of the waterfowl species rely on those beaver ponds to be able to nest and have foraging opportunities. If you remove the beavers, you know, speculation, yeah, maybe it might save a salmon there, but do you want to trade salmon for waterfowl? You know, so you can't really take a species out of an ecosystem without considering the implications that it would have on other species that are in that ecosystem.
Im tangko akaloko makut yakulugit ko tay may pagni ikaw tu nakaita makun chaput tuni igniwiketlo chal chata sata ima.
Would you like me to respond to the weir concern?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the second concern was that weirs impede the or stop salmon from proceeding upstream. I guess I'll back up quickly for the listeners who aren't familiar with what a weir is. Basically, a weir is a structure that goes across I'm going to specifically talk about, we'll say, the Queethluck weir. It's a structure that has PVC panels that go across the entire channel and have one or more openings which are funneled allowing the salmon to cross through that funnel. And that funnel on the Kwikset River is guarded by a video camera that records every passing fish for the scientists to be able to count them and find out what sex they are, what species they are. And what we do is we keep that video going 24/7. We do occasionally put a gate down that catches the fish in a trap. The reason we do this is when we are able to handle a small portion of the population that is passing, we are able to learn a lot about the populations of those salmon. For example, we're able to take a length, determine the gender, and then take a scale. And by doing so, we are able to find out how old these fish are and find out their gender, which helps us to be able to manage the species and manage the catch, be able to find out what brood year they are assigned to be able to say, oh, you know, 5 years ago we had this restriction and it seems like the fish that were born that year are doing really well compared to the year that we see a different thing. We would be unable to collect that data if we did not set the trap and handle the fish. None of the fish are killed. All of the fish after handling are passed up past the weir. And that's another misconception. People believe that the weirs or the technicians at the weirs actually harvest the fish or kill the fish or harm them in some way. That is incorrect. We allow them to pass up, and the majority of the time we are just watching the video and recording that video to be able to go back and have an accurate count of how many fish pass to go into the spawning grounds.
Now we're going to go to Dave Cannon in Aniak. Hello?
Yeah, hello, I'm here.
Hi, Dave. What was your question or concern you wanted to talk on Fish Talk today?
Well, I just wanted to say and confirm that both Aaron's are talking about. I'm actually a fish biologist, and I used to live in Bethel, and now I live up here in Aniak. And I floated every river from the Eek on all the way up to the Aniak, every river in between, and I've spent a lot of time up on the upper Holidna, on all the tributaries up there, the Kagrigalot, the Shotgun. And in all my time that I've spent out there, I have seen relatively little effect from the beavers, negative effects, on salmon migration. And in fact, generally, there's the benefits. Research has shown that in the wintertime, beaver ponds provide very good refuge for the young juvenile fish. And the temperatures are moderated, and they're sheltered. So both Aaron's, what I've heard them say, and I know Aaron Moses has spent a good time up the Queesluck there with the Saran project. And definitely what research has shown is that more often than not, there's a benefit from the beavers and salmon. So that's all I'd like to add.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave Kennedy. Sitali makuning a noxing a chuvit dog no tamatum chalank to hook talitok. Makut quichora tamasquita hook a marken waken egeman kawatman tamasquita hook a its sky. Nasun rinak soch chal tamakut. Excuse me. Ima chapu tetlokut palukta tamakun chuvit hook chivoni. Nasun rinaki. Watin makut. Palukta chapu tai taim akhin utkhonaitut kornaqnun talisu watin anya angliyartulranuga neqtsoornun makutta makut ikayutngutuullinniut ikayutngulutun khok watin khok chaputniwi qiatitniwi tam maqamang maqmi anglifkarluki talisu tai mai pagni neqtukkatrato Mayuk Chigalam Tamakun and Kits Chiatakam im Tamakut Angtohitut Tamani.
Okay, and now we're going to go to Warren here in Bethel. Hello, Warren.
Hi. I just wanted to make a couple comments on beavers. My brother, he set a whitefish net this spring. And it there was a beaver nearby, but he'd check his net daily, and he noticed that the beaver, or he noticed the fish that he caught was eaten a little bit, you know, on some fish. You know, he started trying to investigate what's eating the fish that he was catching, and he noticed it was a beaver. He noticed the beaver was eating the fish. And I also Googled it. Beavers do eat the fish. I don't know how much of it or if it's a rare thing, but, and, you know, their beaver dams, they hold the, I've went up the Queesluck. I'm from Queesluck. And I went up the Magic Creek. We jump all those beaver dams in the fall when it's high water. And there's salmon that get up way in there up the Magic Creek, and I know they go over the beaver dams, but once they spawn and they die, I'm thinking beavers probably eat their carcasses or whatever. I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you, Warren.
All right. Bye.
Did either Aaron? Okay.
I guess I could just add, it would be a rare case where a beaver is actually eating fish or actually targeting fish. You can look at their teeth and just know that they've got the incisor, which is used for shearing off woody debris, not like a canine that would have some molars and also sharp teeth in the front to be able to rip and chew. I have heard of people that have seen it happen. I don't believe that it's a common thing.
What in Q, Oguna, Mark and Mom Tritchum, Kayagol Repi, Quatin, Magutu Palok Tetuka, Nakanga, you know, Unakwanga im Naksit, Mim Naptan, Wasoka, Akakin, im Kuviasramini, im. Nakai ho nakhlo sinin na ro chamimum watin khok chogobil khaminni tamana ai pagni khok akut paluktam illai tamakut naktai nakhto nakhlo yugnakh kai tawal kiwa umma watin tamana khok imma I tamana ko am khong pi pi chenoi tok ino taim im makut palok tat ko ka im ukhviakh pasugun ng nakatu ta chal im tamako ng nakhnaloki ko pi juit ta tamako nak nak ta kuyam pit ta to so ka nakhnaloki ko im malikha juit ta tamako nak ta makamiwi talgit.
We're going to go now to Helen again. I don't know if this is Helen calling back again in Bethel. Hello, Helen.
Hi, thank you for taking my call again. Can you talk to parents about what your degrees are and how their kids can become our leaders in our taking care of our land and our fish and our subsistence and our big land animals, and what kind of where did you have to go to school and where you learned and where you can go to school and get grants? And that was my question. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think that's for Aaron Moses. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Aaron Moses. I started off school at the university, or I graduated first off high school out of Nelson Island High School in Tuksuk. And then I started my education at the University of Alaska, Anchorage. Then I moved on up to the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and through the ANSEP program and through AVCP and a whole bunch of other local Native companies, I was able to go to school for it wasn't that expensive to go to school, and there was a lot of people there that helped me that are both Native and non-Native that helped me go through this, and now that it's been a year since I graduated, and now that I'm here, I feel like I have the opportunity to give back to where I've came from and help manage the fish and the animals that are around the Yukon Delta.
Chanang kaisin ko ka wat makuno sa liyak trusit ka tawas kiuga tuksok pagme meron nam kiuga ima yani ko kaiskola ni kakit kayan tuksok pagme chali so tawakan University of Alaska in Kuchami tamani lit naung trok chal. Tamakan Luchtal Yav Fairbanks and the U of Amon, Tamakani Lalo Gutamana Lit Narus Nibisho, Jalis, Anska Tamakun Luchtal Ilangs Ilasho, Tagomho Akuti Gaius Katasatika Ika, Taim Chikut Hunaki Kunbisil Ritino, Aki to see Yasonitokoka, School Asha Matum Lit Narvishan.
And just wanted to remind everybody, if you have any questions or concerns over beaver dams or fish weirs, you can call in here at KYUK at 543-5985 or 543-2756. Or if you're outside of Bethel in a village or in Anchorage, you can call our number at 1-800-995-8954. So now we're going to just go back to another question for Aaron Moses. Beaver urine, is it toxic to fish?
Personally, I wouldn't drink it. I'm just kidding. I don't believe so. So I've had experience with beavers in 5 different Western United States, including Alaska. I've seen very high elevation areas where there's very little water and very heavy beaver densities. The fish that are in those habitats are very sensitive to chemicals, and they thrive in those environments. With that observation, I would say their fish are not negatively affected by the beaver urine. However, a lot of people talk about the disease Giardia, which is transported through beaver feces and urine. And that's something that when I'm out hiking, I like to make sure that the water that I drink is purified, filtered, boiled, so that I don't contract that disease. But for the question of whether or not beaver urine is actually toxic to fish, I would say no. The fish are doing fine. Beavers have been here for thousands of years, and so have salmon, and that's not something that I think we need to be concerned about.
Okay. Nakhin khuqa tamana sit ngu, as sit khuqa. Khan watin kiwa im sin khuq tsuk vilgamini li tsalgamini sumatum tunginun magut magut paluqtad khuqsxit mkhamun tamana khuq tang ksaito khuq li li taqik saito khuq im magut gato nakit tamatumun as sirutulgit im magut khuq paluqta chalisun nakit ay paqsutin wasoqa yaqsikusutin taim tsu magut mani awatum tini mkhanisu witabim khnigato im ay yaqsikuglutin gato angalitu ta tsu waqsutin lu Jalil tagom kanuta kanhto kwatin tagom tamani tamakut mukhta im mukhpalmi mukhpalm tki wangkuta tamay pagni im buk im kasakpat kahaluki hutaun tamakut may makayunga kaut pichakat kuna kita matun kurslet kunreto nang tringyoktogut.
And it looks like we have Ruth back on the line in here in Bethel. Hello, Ruth.
Yeah, hi. Everywhere we go, when we go berry picking, whether it's Nonap area or Kasigilok, that area, there's always beaver dams. Even when we went up river sometime to check for blueberries in the smaller streams, there's beaver dams. Everywhere, even I'm a woman, I know I see them. We try jumping over them, but some of them are hard because of no water. But when it was lots of water, we were able to pass those beaver dams. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Oh,
bye.
We're gonna go now to a caller in Anchorage. Hello.
Yep.
Hi. Sorry, what's your name?
Doug Molyneux.
Hi, Doug. What's your question or comment today for Fish Talk?
I was just going to mention about the weirs. I used to be the fish biologist for Fish and Game out there, the research biologist, and I was going to just mention, I think, one of the most convincing arguments that the weirs are not harming fish is to look at the numbers of fish that have passed over the years. The grug lug's been operated for 40 years, and it's seemed super high numbers of years, super high abundance of salmon, and super low abundance of salmon across all the different species. And it's gone back and forth over the years. And it just seems to me that's a compelling reason that the weirs don't cause any kind of net negative effect on fish, on the salmon.
Thank you. Did either of you want to talk about that?
Yes, this is Aaron Moses. I'd actually... to go along that, we've had the Chinook telemetry going on for the last 2 years. Every year or so for the Queethluck, we've had around about 40 fish tagged every year. And every summer, all those fish make it through the weir and make it all the way up to where they're spawning. And so for for the last 2 years of data, we've had over 80 fish that have been tagged down here, make it all the way through the weirs and all the way up to the to where they're spawning. So we've had another convincing point is that we've had 100% of those tags make it all the way up, and none of the fish have turned around. They've all gone straight through the weir and gone up, just been able to, being able to spawn.
Aguna chibokse aguna makin kakwa ka kayagos makin mamtrit kumunga that makun kan ktuk makuta palokta tigato chaputa tamstut no mane awatni tamak tawatin kan kan kasko kawai chalisu asa aguna kalalga tak enkucham kalalga makut Sikho makuning chokovitulkhuk chachallangitulkhuk chiponi makuning nakning chalisu chaputning. Im makutkhuk nakit chalisu paluktat mani gata witakutkhuk aipakhluting chalis im navuguk saunatik walhuk akhingutik saunatik kismukning. Tamak took chaput took a seat noted im takut noted was soka a seat nitu taken money. Chalisu irnum kyuk im ilakaluku watin im noktuk alhani malrunipe was soka malruk yinak nakling im. Takarishot was sokan as soon as could just hot nakum kangitun. Tamak took Tamas coming tamat and chaputun kitus hot, keep shooting kitus hot takut. Chalisuk Maloney alracuni im edi fish chitaman duinat nakat as soon as could just catch a little Tamas coming takut. Chaputun kits hot kitoloting so. Tali kan khlun watin tamakut tangshit nasunas kuchit lukuk tamaskong pichut kiplutin su tamakut chaput kitokologi.
I just wanted to remind listeners, we have about 10 more minutes left to take your questions for Fish Talk on beaver dams or fish weirs. Our number here is 543-5985. Or 543-2756. And you can also call us if you're outside of Bethel at 1-800-995-8954. So I know that some of these questions came up earlier in the conversation, but I'm just going to redirect back to some fish weir questions or concerns that callers or listeners may have. So fish weirs, do they cause salmon to turn around or get lost?
We don't believe so. Aaron Moses just a second ago was talking about the radio telemetry study that he's been involved in. They, as the fish come up, like he said, in the last 2 years we've had approximately 600 or so Chinook salmon that the Alaska Fish and Game and has tagged, and we in conjunction with them have done aerial surveys where we're up with telemetry equipment, which is basically a way that we can pinpoint where those tags are from the air. And we track every one of those fish that are tagged, and obviously not all of them that are tagged in the main Kuskokwim go up to the Kwikluk, but the ones that go to the Kwikluk and to the Tuluksak, whereas from my experience and the data that I am knowledgeable about, 100% of those tagged fish came up and did not stop at the weir and, you know, meander for a couple of days and decide, nope, we can't go up past here, we're going down. All of them, 100% of them went up past the weir. That is the data point that I am going on to be able to say that I do not believe that salmon are impeded by the weirs. It may stop them temporarily for a second to say, oh, where is that funnel? But that's no different than any river system that has a log jam or, you know, some other structure in it to make it change its course. The data that we gather from those weirs is very, very important to be able to manage the species and just have a count to be able to say, hey, we know that this year had this many salmon. Without the weirs, we have no way of knowing. And so without the weirs, this is kind of a main point. Without the weirs, the people that are upset because there's not enough opportunity to harvest salmon, I guarantee you, if we didn't have the data that we gather from the weirs, the managers would be far more conservative than they are now. That would mean that you would get less fish. That's just a point that I'm going to make to the listeners, and it's an important one. You may have some problems with the weir, but the bottom line is without the data that we collect from the weir, you probably would not have as much opportunity to harvest fish that you do now.
Aku layu itu tu kuat suka tamaju itu tamau kita kamu im tamas kuita hukau kuta nasu nas kucit sket nget tamas kuita im malik sket hukting sud kun kapaga kun wasuka tamak malik sud kun masinat kun nasu nget sket tamakut tamakmu huk tamas taman kcharmu huk tamakut nasu nas kucit malik nget im tkit sqat hux tamak chaput tamakuchal kitukulukilu igniartulting illat igniartulting qullitnun taliluq makutta im wat narulaqata im turvilxit makut neqtamana hux aqtsaqaqapiktuq tamakuttaitlukan hux nasuyaqtutuq mai chat neqt mayutulxitin talilu tammavt kitturtin qaajin khuqtamnga saakun taim nas im nasu ngaitat khuqollokallisingaitut chalisuqtamaakutik taqta qaai im mai im tamaakun nasu noilermutkunllaat im qaajin khuqpitalreaning mai neqling ikirtuumallitin mai taqut tu tamaakut makunin challaqtulghit.
Now we're going to go to Edward in Bethel. Hello, Edward.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a question or a comment?
I'd like to comment about the beaver.
Okay.
Am I on air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, okay. Sorry. The beavers are overpopulated. The younger generation we have today, they don't do any trapping anymore. These beavers, I don't think they're creating new environments for species, but I look at the beaver as a destroyer of the area, land. So if the fish is on the beaver's other side of the beaver dam, how is that fish gonna come out of the other side of the beaver dam? The fish can't talk to the beaver to make him a channel so he could get out of there and go someplace else to go spawn.
Thank that
beaver is a destroyer. It's like man is destroyer, but we try to save what. Back in those days, we only gathered what we only could have. They didn't overtake. So that beaver, they should be broken. Let all those fish and white fish escape. Let them go and then come back, spawn again.
Okay. We have about 2 minutes left, Edward,
okay.
And I wanted to thank you for your call.
Thank you.
And if either of you could take that, we have about 90 seconds.
Okay. Thank you for accepting my call.
Thank you.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. This is Aaron Moses. There has been some research that's shown that beavers, if there's too many beavers in an area, that it would limit production of like juvenile fish habitat. But those are only when there's successional, like three or four dam, dams in like in one side channel or so. But there's also good things about beavers, and like they're reintroducing beavers in places down in California that have lost their salmon habitat. They're reintroducing beavers so that there could be more salmon habitat. It's kind of a trade-off. There, some places there might be too many beavers is a bad thing, but not enough beavers is also a bad thing, and we need to really take a look at our rivers and make sure that there's this good balance of all fish and beavers and all animals that are living within the beaver dams.
Thank you so much. So we've reached the end of our show. I wanted to thank everyone for calling in, Aaron Moses and Aaron Weber. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Mr. Peter Atchak, thank you for translating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Christine Trudeau. You've been listening to Fish Talk. Have a good day and happy fishing.